I'm Frank Vaughn. It is December 10th, 8:41 in the morning. Good morning. That's the last good I'm probably going to have for you in today's video. First up, we're going to start with my appeal was rejected. I didn't get a response. I didn't get an email. You cannot advocate for stiffer penalties for pedophiles. You cannot talk about Jeffrey Epstein. YouTube is more concerned with protecting pedophiles and Jeffrey Epstein than it is with letting me talk about it. So, just so you know, before I get into the news, if I get taken down off YouTube, my plan is to start streaming my own videos on my website and do my own hosting. This will cost me hundreds of dollars a month, maybe $1,000 a month for bandwidth. But it's the only way I can see moving forward. I'm going to look into DLive and these other alternative platforms, but I'd rather put my eggs in my own basket and start a truly independent platform and see if I can succeed at that. But it's clear, my days are numbered on YouTube. Now, the thing Canadians have been talking about for the last 18 hours is the fact that Trudeau has allowed Chinese troops to train on Canadian soil, and that when the army said this might be a bad idea, the Trudeau government and Global Affairs Canada, which used to be foreign policy, now it's called Global Affairs because we are the first post-national state, and integration with the commies is the stated desire of the Trudeau government. Everybody's been talking about it, except, of course, for the CBC. You go to their website, and the best you get is, as Canadians sour on China, an ambassador changes his tone. You don't get the actual meat and potatoes of the story. Why? Because this is state media. This is a communist broadcaster. This is a broadcaster that you pay for so that they can indoctrinate you. CBC sucks. I used to have so much pride in what the CBC did as a kid when they used to put out Canadian heritage moments and they actually had some high quality content. Now it's just all progressive garbage and nonsense. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no actual news, costs us $1.6 billion. I want to see it carved up and thrown into the wind. Or what we could do, if we want to be really fair, give every single Canadian citizen one share in CBC, create 37 million shares, and give every single Canadian one of them. And we can decide how much CBC is actually worth. I think it's worth less than the sheaf of paper that I'm pointing out on my desk right now. The headline over at the Globe and Mail, which is symbolic of several headlines outside of the CBC bubble, is Global Affairs objected to Canadian military decision to cancel training with the China's People's Liberation Army. What did Global Affairs say? Should Canada make any significant reductions in its military engagement with China? Did you know that you were engaged with China? Did you know your tax dollars, your soldiers, and your sons are training with communist totalitarian dictators who put people into concentration camps and treat their people like bugs? Did you know that about your nation? You should have. And this is something I'm going to get into a little bit more. You should have known, because this is not new. The sellout has been going on, not just under Trudeau. I see a lot of partisan politicking saying Trudeau is the big bad guy, and he is. But Stephen Harper opened this door, but we'll get into that in a little bit. China will likely read this as a retaliatory move related to the Meng Wanzhou case. So we're worried about what China thinks of us doing something to look after our citizens. Used to be a time when we looked south for our allies, when we looked over the Atlantic to Europe, to our friends in democracy, to our friends in human rights and civil liberties. Those were our allies. But those days are long gone. And just before I move on, let's be honest here. This wouldn't even be a story right now if it wasn't for the Rebel News and Ezra Levant and his team and what they've done to put this on the stage. And I don't see any credit given to him and his work or his organization's work in any of the mainstream press. It's important because they kicked the door open and everybody tries to pretend that they don't exist, that they're not actually a press organization, that they don't do good journalism. And I think that's completely untenable. I hate this motion, this notion, and I've seen it on Canadian Reddit over the last couple days, that you brand people. The Rebel's unacceptable. The Daily Mail out of England's unacceptable. There's all these unacceptable sources, and anything that they say is gone. And I ask these people, why do you think that way? Can you give me some evidence? And they usually cite Wikipedia. They don't even cite it. They just tell me, go read Wikipedia. Do your own research. Like, who are you to ask me a question? It's like you're making these broad statements, and you can't even present an evidentiary basis for your bias and hatred of a particular organization. How about we judge them on their works and we give fair credit where credit is due? That's too much to ask, I guess, in 2020. But let's talk extemporaneously about Justin Trudeau, our commie-in-chief here in Canada. This is nothing new, folks. We've had video leaks of Chinese soldiers operating on Canadian soil circulating online for a long time, and the public doesn't get outraged about it. The public doesn't still. At this stage, nobody seems to get upset about anything until it hits the mainstream media. And I don't understand why that is. Because generally speaking, when a story hits the mainstream media, including this one, it's allowed to the surface because it covers for something far more insidious. And that's the case right now. China's been here for a long time, folks. They've been buying up our mineral resources. They own mines in BC and across the Northwest Territory. They're buying our gold, our copper, our mineral wealth. They own 62% of the leases of the oil sands, which is my message to the West always. When they look to Ottawa and they blame Ottawa for everything, there's this huge blind spot, which is Beijing. $1 billion, was it, to the University of Calgary, I believe it was? At any rate, $1 billion to an educational institution in Alberta. Chinese money paves the roads. They're buying up agricultural land all across the West. This is the big picture. The sellout to China has been underway for a long time, and it's not, and I'm not defending this guy, it's not just his responsibility. It was Stephen Harper and the likes of Maxime Bernier and the Aaron O'Toole's who sat in cabinet, who sat in Stephen Harper's government, who opened the door to China. And these are the same champions who wanted further integration with China as the baton was being passed from Stephen Harper to Justin Trudeau. This is the truth nobody wants to hear, folks. Whether it was Paul Martin or Jean Chrétien or it was Stephen Harper and Justin Trudeau, the sellout of Canada as a nation state has been ongoing for a very long time. This troop deployment thing, it's bad. This troop training thing, it's bad. And I don't want to say it's not bad. I'm not trying to downplay it. It's horrendous. There's no excuse for having the troops of a totalitarian nation, which literally has slave labor camps, which literally persecutes all of its minorities, which has a Ponzi scheme for an economy, which unleashed COVID-19 on the world by using its mouthpiece, the WHO, to lie to the world about the origins and to lie about the severity in China when this was all early on and incubative before we knew the things we know now about COVID-19. This whole problem from start to finish with COVID-19 emanates from communist China and emanates from the fact that people like this and those he's appointed just parroted whatever China said. Beijing, remember, praised Ottawa's response to COVID-19 back when they said, it's not severe, there's no reason to impact human rights, there's no reason for people to wear masks, stop being paranoid and go to your Chinese food eatery. Because that, apparently, you know, talk about racism. All our politicians seem to be able to come up with when it comes to virtue signaling about their love of ethnic diversity when it came to China was go eat Chinese food. I can almost call that racist itself, that the best that they can come up with is an all-you-can-eat Chinese food place, which half the food on the menu isn't authentically Chinese at all. These are people who are used to eating bugs and things because of the long march and, you know, so long a history with China. How many times have they almost been starved to death or been starved to death by their communist totalitarian leaders? Now, people say, Frank, China's not really communist. It's more fascist. It's that hyper-capitalism that you see with fascism. You're right, but it doesn't matter because fascism and communism are just the same thing. One, communism is international communism. Fascism is like a socialism that's national-centric, national socialism. That's what fascism, that's what the Nazi Party was called, national socialism, because it was a product of the left, not the right. And people say, oh, but there was religion and all this stuff, but the governing structure, the way the NSDAP ruled Germany, was socialist to the extreme. It was a leftist-inspired movement. National communism instead of international communism. So I don't care what you call China. That's why I often just refer to it as a totalitarian hellhole, because that's what it is. But I'm somewhat offended by a lot of things, obviously, if you've watched any of my videos. But the idea that this is new, folks, off the top of my head, a book that I would recommend you read is called The Claws of the Panda. I can't remember the name of the author off the top of my head. It's just one of many. If you go to Amazon.ca, Do yourselves a favor. Simplify your life. Get yourself a Kindle. I'm a big fan of print paper. If I read a good book and I think it's fantastic, I make sure I got a print copy just in case. But Kindles make your life simple. Then you go to the Amazon bookstore and you look up Kindle books. Type in China. Type in China, Canada. Type in China, Canada relationship. You're going to get dozens of books that you can get right now, which will document, we're talking 40, 50-year history of China's infiltration of this nation, turning us into a place to launder money through real estate, turning us into a place, just a resource mine for Chinese communist interests. We've been working against the United States for 20-odd years, openly. What's happening here is nothing new. This is political horseplay, and it bothers me immensely that the only time the Canadian public ever gets aggravated about this stuff is if the mainstream media tells them to get aggravated about it. You're supposed to be upset about this. That's why it's making the National Post and the Globe and Mail. Why are you supposed to be upset about this? Well, it's terrible, for one thing. But if you focus on this one thing, these Chinese troops training here, you're going to miss the bigger picture, which is your country's already been gutted. Good God, I've been talking about this for years. And now everybody's acting like it's news. Why are you still listening to these people? Why are you only reacting when they tell you to react? There's only one way out. There's really only one way out, and nobody's going to like it. We have to nationalize Chinese interests here in Canada. We have to nationalize them. We got to take them back and then privatize them and sell them back to Canadian domestics or an approved list of foreign entities that can invest in our nation. We need to take back CCP-linked farmland. We need to take back CCP-linked mines. We need to take back, nationalize, confiscate it, and kick the commies out. That's the only solution, and nobody wants to say it. And just to put it on the record before I discuss something else that's equally as pathetic as Justin Trudeau breaking China says it has indicted and tried Canadians Michael Spavor and Michael Kovrig. No further details provided. These are the two Canadians that our government has failed to stand up for. They're also the two Canadians that are being used by the very people who sold our nation out in the Conservative Party of Canada and outside the Conservative Party of Canada, to be completely fair. We're going to talk about that next. They're being used to virtue signal about what the government should be doing. But we've abandoned more than just these two men. We've abandoned our principles at the door. We abandoned the West. We've abandoned what we believe in, and we've been doing it for decades. This is nothing new. And everybody online is acting like it's something new. We should have been prepared for this. And why? And in the level of disgust that we feel about everything, why is Global Affairs Canada worried about how China would interpret our actions if the interpretation looked like we were doing something for our citizens, that we were reacting to Chinese aggressions and egregiousness? If I was in the chair, if I was in Parliament right now, I'd be kicking off an international shitstorm like you've never seen before. And I would have done it a long time ago. I would start nationalizing their stuff. I would start taking it back. I'd kick out all the foreign money and I'd say, you know what? Try it. You think China is a necessity, that we have to bend over. I've heard this from economists. We have to bend over to China. They're the rising power. No. A little bit of pain for long-term gain. A little bit of pain so that we save our souls as a nation. A proud democracy, supposedly. That's what we're supposed to be. The thing to do would be realigning ourselves with Western interests and kicking out all the Chinese money. Taking back our mineral wealth. Taking back our sovereignty. And we can only do that. Further to the point. Forgive me for that. We can only do that together as a nation. We have to do it as a nation. Individual provinces can't do it. We're all compromised. And the only way out of this is a united effort against the communist regime in China, who should have never been our friend in the first place. Can you imagine what the United States would have done in the 1950s and the 1960s if we were training Russian soldiers on Canadian soil? That's where we're at. And the worst part is, with the Biden administration potentially coming in, if this whole thing in the United States, if the Supreme Court doesn't bother to hear the one-third of U.S. states so far who want the election results overturned because their constitutional rights were violated to a free and fair election, if Biden stands, you can bet that bending over to China is all our political leadership is going to be able to do. And make no mistake, it's the entire political establishment. They can virtue signal all day about their beliefs and about their supposed criticism of China, but they've all stood by. Every member of the House has stood by and watched China slowly take over the country. And that's been the case for multiple decades, including this guy, which I think this is hilarious. And these are the facts. And PPCers have as much a hard time with facts as liberals do and conservative party people do. I speak in facts, and I could care less who they offend. This is awful. This is Maxime Bernier talking. Well, it's actually not. It's one of his handlers. He doesn't write his own tweets. This is awful, but not surprising, given Trudeau's open admiration for the Chinese dictatorship. Thank God we still have professional independent media like Rebel News Online to dig up this stuff that the mainstream fake media will not touch. Well, it's good that you're thankful for Rebel, but we know you're looking for clicks, Max. You, sir, criticized the Trudeau government not 3 years ago for not opening the door to China wide enough. And you, when you were in government, did everything in your power to sell this nation out to China. You were the most pro-conservative party Chinese advocate in caucus. The people who worked with you know it. I know it because I'm literate in history. I know who you are. I know what you stood for. And you've never explained your sudden change of heart. You were pro-China up to a year ago. Look, for those morons, and that's what it is, it's moronic, for those people who say, well, things change, Frank. Well, things change. COVID-19 happened and it changed. That isn't the first problem with China this nation's ever faced. The buy-up of our land, the buy-up of our mineral resources, the compromising of our government, the harassment of Taiwanese, Hong Kong, Tibetan nationals in Canada who immigrated here to get away from these commies, and Chinese agents have come here and harassed them in Canada as Canadian citizens, and our government has done nothing. These are in the CSIS documents. This is part of the record. It's part of history. The Harper government, the Trudeau government, they do nothing. COVID-19 is nothing new. It's just part of a long-term procedure of China undermining Canada and turning us into a new colonial colony for Chinese state interests. And there was no prouder champion, folks, and this is just the fact, than Max Bernier. The speeches are out there. His press statements are out there. His record is out there. This guy wanted to kick the door wide open, and he said Trudeau was not moving quick enough to do it. So before you send any more dollars to the PPC, remember that this guy flops and flips around like a fish. He has no consistency, he has no center, and he completely depends on the blind faith of his followers to sustain his $2,000 a week wage, which he uses to pretend to be the Canadian savior. He's never explained his past, he's never explained his history, and he's not building a real political party right now. When it comes right down to it, I just hate fake people. And all of these political people, these career politicians, whether it's Maxime Bernier or Aaron O'Toole or Justin Trudeau, they're just that. They're fake. They just do whatever in the moment they think is going to get them the most widespread attention and fix up those donation dollars. Meanwhile, they've all had a hand in the great sellout of this nation. Now, how will you know? How will you know when a political leader or somebody who proposes something different is actually serious about it? When they start talking about kicking China out, when they start talking about seizing their assets on Canadian soil over these hostages, over the situation, over the Chinese encroachment on our national sovereignty. We've got international agreements with these people that guarantee their investments here in Canada. We've literally created a legal regime for the Chinese Communist Party to exercise its interests through our courts or even outside of court here in Canada. Basically, the government saying, we're going to just hand over power. We need to repudiate these agreements. We need to chop them up into a million pieces. And we need to start taking our country back. And until some sort of political leader starts talking in that tone, you know they're not serious. It's just all virtue signaling in the moment. This is a little focal point. This is the channel. This is what the media and the political class are allowing you to talk about, are these troops and is this hostage situation. And meanwhile, there is a mountain that this tunnel vision blocks from view. China's here. They've already taken over a lot of our nation. They use us. They abuse us. They treat us like a resource colony. They abuse people who come here. Good immigrants who have come to Canada, one of the largest Uyghur expat, one of the larger Tibetan expat communities in the world. We've taken these people in because they're trying to escape the hellhole that is totalitarian China. They're trying to get to a place that will value their liberty and guarantee them human rights, have charter rights, and all of these things. And they're betrayed. The media doesn't interview, CBC or National Post or whatever, they don't interview Tibetan expats. Maybe I should start. They don't interview people from Hong Kong who have come here to escape the commies. They don't. They just advance the interests of China over and over again. And every now and again, they throw you a little breadcrumb to say, oh, look, the Chinese are bad. There's bad things happening. This guy is just part of a process that's been ongoing for a long time. And all the little players in politics who pretend to be upset, they've been playing their part too. This is nothing new. And I'm also, to be completely fair, I'm upset with the Canadian public because they're treating this like it's news. It's not news. This has been happening for a long time. The academic books are there. If you took the time to read them, if you took the time to research it, if you took the time to understand, you'd know China's been here forever. And if we want to get serious about combating China, we need to repair our ties with the United States, and we better hope that Biden doesn't actually get in, because if Biden becomes president, it's pretty much game over. China's here. They're here to stay. America decline is baked in. And China will, they'll probably take back Taiwan within the next year or two, I would imagine. There will be some sort of agreement. I've often said that Hong Kong was the equivalent of the Anschluss. For those of you who don't know history, the Anschluss was when German troops under Hitler's command walked into Austria unopposed, and they just took the Austrian homeland back and they incorporated it into the Reich. And then there was Czechoslovakia in 1938, the Munich agreements where Chamberlain, Mussolini, Daladje, I believe it was Daladje, but I think it was Daladje, and Hitler all sat down and they agreed to carve up Czechoslovakia in the name of world peace. That's Taiwan. And it ain't going to be gentle. The Taiwanese will fight back, but they will not win. They can't win against China. These things are coming, especially if Biden gets into office. The rise of China will continue unabated. If you want to get serious about combating China, there's only one language you need to speak. And I've laid it out in this video. And until you hear somebody talking about formal eviction of commie interests right here in Canada, you know they're not serious. They're just virtue signaling. They're just looking for donations. They're just looking for clicks. And that's the bottom line. They've been silent for so long, and they only get loud when they need a tunnel for everybody to stare down. I'm Frank Vaughn. Like I said at the beginning of this video, my days are likely numbered on YouTube. I can just feel it. I can feel the writing on the wall. I'm already blacklisted on Facebook. I'm allowed to have my page, but they won't show it to anybody who hasn't already liked the page. And even at that, they'll only show it to 2% of my followers, even if my engagement is massive. And it is. I see the numbers. Even in spite of all the restrictions, my engagement rate, my like ratios, all these things are off the charts. For every one person that my content appears in their feed, for every four people that see it, one person clicks on it. I think the average ratio is something like 10 to 1 minus 4 to 1, and I can't get any traction. I can see it coming. And when it happens, I'm going to have to retool my website. I'm going to have to buy that bandwidth, and I'm going to have to keep putting out this content. It's going to be up to you, folks. I see it all the time. Look, people love, like, there's thousands of people who watch my videos, sometimes tens of thousands. It happens. But so few of you share it. So few of you retweet it. So few of you just, I don't know why. I do know why. You're afraid still. Most of the people who watch this, and you know who you are, my neighbors, my friends, people who agree with what I say, but you don't want the controversy in your life, things are going to get so much worse for you if you don't engage a little bit of controversy right now, if you don't start combating this. It's like the stuff with the kids and the transgender nonsense that's being taught in our schools and the sterilization that's going on that's targeting foster kids and everything else in this country, the basically Hitler-esque or commie-esque eugenics projects that are now becoming mainstream in Canada. If you don't start talking about that, eventually it's going to come for one of your kids too. You got to start getting controversial. You got to start finding your balls. You got to start doing it, because it only gets worse unless you stand up and start talking to your neighbors, start talking to your family, start sharing the videos, and start making people listen to a different point of view, because that point of view because of your silence, do not absolve yourself of your responsibility. Your silence will not protect you. And your silence is not protecting you. The world that you live in, the box that you can have a point of view in, is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And unless you start pushing back out, unless you start forcing those walls down, that's it. It's the cell without bars. And you're the one keeping yourself there. So let's get more motivated. Let's get more active. Let's talk about the actual solutions. Let's get combative when it comes to China. We have a great big ally in the United States. We have hopefully democratic allies left in the world, but it's a dark time. Everybody in the political mainstream seems to want to bow down to China. And those who dare speak out, at least lukewarmly, like the Maxime Berniers of the world, first, they have a really dark history when it comes to kicking the door open with China, but they only say certain things. They don't go far enough. Look, we got to combat this. We got to exercise it. And that's the bottom line. I'm Frank Vaughn. If you like the work, there's ways of supporting it at frankvaughn.ca. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website, frankvaughn.ca? It's the ultimate repository for all of my work, including the videos and audio-only podcast links, which you can also find on Spotify, iTunes, and a dozen different platforms. If you like the work, please consider clicking the donate link and supporting it either on a monthly basis or a one-off basis. I take crypto, Bitcoin, Neblio, e-transfer, PayPal. It will never be behind a paywall. What it is worth is up to you. Please consider supporting at frankvaughn.ca.